here we go. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Calling up the first disciples. I hope that you are a disciple of the Lord. The Bible says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, also called the Sea of Galilee, the people crowded around him and listened to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and to help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at his knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled up their boats on shore, left everything, and followed. Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, taking a look at the coming year, taking a look at the rest of our lives, Lord, taking a look back at how we have been doing so far. And Lord, I pray a guiding and directing and anointing today, Lord, that you would guide our time, that we would indeed learn where we are to go, and that we can follow. In Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
Guided by God, we are in this series, Finding Focus, and I have talked about being guided. Juan, you can go downstairs and call the rest of the youth if you would like. Talked about various times the Lord has spoken into my life. Spoke into these fishermen's lives. So you're not going to be fishermen anymore. And some of those guys might have been thinking, "Well, we kind of like fishing. Mike likes fishing. He goes fishing every chance he can get." He had to work yesterday. He said, "I can't go. I can't take the kids. I got a job." I said, "Mike, you got to go. I got nobody else." "Well, okay." You know, he was trying to twist his arm. "You got to go fishing." "Okay." So the Lord has called me to Mexico, called me to Bible college, called me to this church. And I've talked to you about those, and I don't know if I have shared with you about how the Lord spoke to my heart about my wonderful wife. But I had completed my first year of Bible college, looking ahead at serving the Lord with my life fervently, and came back, and I was interning at a church of about 5,000. A little bit larger than this church. And, I go back, and Lisa and I kind of have this thing going on. She had been coming over to Bible college, visiting a friend. I kind of met her, I knew her from church, and all this stuff, and it was all good. And so I'm going back, and I'm interning, and we're going on a short-term, one-week-long mission trip down to Mexico. And I'm the intern, I'm setting up, making the t-shirts. And so I go to the t-shirt shop, and I meet Beth. And Beth is a honey. And so I start talking with Beth, and Beth is talking with me, and everything is looking good. And so a couple of things, Beth is not a Christian.
We're not dating yet. You need to make that clear.
But thinking about it.
We're not dating.
Go. One person. And I get to tell the stories the way I remember them. Yeah. I want to get the other version. You can talk to Lisa after church. And so Beth and I kind of got a little thing going on. I'm just talking about the shirts and all this kind of stuff. And I'm talking to her enough to find out that she's not a Christian, that she is divorced, that she has children. But she's fun. And so I'm thinking, okay, I've got Lisa.
Wait, wait.
to Bethlehem and gone. And there's no way I was going to go far in my life with Beth. Number one, if you're a Assemblies of God minister, you cannot get credentials if you are divorced or you married somebody. I mean, massive roadblock. So massive safety. You know, sometimes safety is nice.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at Lisa, and I see Lisa now 20 years later, and I was seeing death there, and I was seeing no roadblocks, and I was seeing some fear that was coming up. I was going, oh, this is fun, but it's scary because there's no stops. Anybody follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so I decided in my heart, Lord, I would just believe that Lisa is who you have for me. And Lord, Beth is just, I'm putting Beth aside. And Beth is not going to distract me. And I had the audacity to tell Lisa.
Oh, that's
scary.
And I'm like going, look what I have done for you. And her response was, of course. Sometimes when we follow God, we feel like we're doing His way. We're in a series being guided by God. These fishermen might have felt that they were doing Jesus a favor, following Him. Because sometimes we fight God, amen?
Yes.
We talked about coming to the Lord last week, being being a fan or being a follower, being more than a fan. And we talked about pain. Pain would bring you to the Lord. That pain would cause you to make a commitment. And sometimes making that commitment, sometimes following the Lord can be a challenge. Sometimes it can be a struggle, and you're going to have to determine whether or not you're going to fight the Lord or you're going to follow the Lord. As we come to a focus in 2014, you have to ask yourself, how did you do in 2013? Maybe you might ask the people around you, how did I do in 2013? And some people might say, oh, you did so well. Some people, man, I might have done a little bit extra. 2013, I want to let you know that God had plans for you.
Amen.
Did you do them? Or are you surprised? What? God had plans for me? I thought God just wanted to fix me. God had a plan. Did you hit them or did you miss them? Because if you missed them in 2013, you'll probably miss them in 2014 unless you make a change. Because if you fought God in 2013, you're probably set up to fight Him again in 2014. And if you followed God in 2013, you're probably already following Him this year. You have to determine where you're headed. Are you going to be the guy, or is God going to be the guy? Because there are choices that we will make. These guys are fishermen. And they let Jesus guide them. Yeah. The title of today's message is Guided by God. You going to do it? You going to fight? Or are you going to fall? All right. We are not going to be spending any more time in Luke today. That was our starting point, but there are various points. You've got notes that are in front of you. If you are not aware of that, there are some expanded notes in the back that are like 4 or 5 pages. Tommy, hold those notes up right there. And Tommy's got some. There's a whole book of them. And you've got, there's questions that are in there that you guys can think about afterwards. But, so, we're going to talk about a focus for 2014. I guarantee it will be a focus on change. Go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, this is Paul writing to a church in Rome. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, how many of you have received God's mercy and grace in your life? In view of that, you are to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. I don't know if you did that in 2013. If you were worried about being holy and pleasing to God. But Paul says, this is your spiritual act of worship. Change is a response to God. It is not something that you pick up on your own. It is because God has moved into your life, there is a response to Him. Now, many of us come to God because we are so stuff, you hear Pastor Paul say stuff, and you start getting this stuff, and you say, man, there is so much stuff that I have got to change. Anybody else experience that as they come to the Lord? Man, it's like everywhere you turn, there is something new that you can't change. Ephesians, this is also Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. Chapter 4, verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. You say, wow, I've got so much work that I can do right here. And you grab onto that, and you start making some changes, and you find out that change is good. Amen? Because I tell you what, who wants to hold on to bitterness, right? Like, no, I'm holding on to this bitterness. I want to be a bitter person. How many of you are bitter when you came to the Lord, right? I mean, it's like, hey, you didn't know any better. And so as you begin to move past that, you start to look better than you used to. You start to feel better. You start thinking, man, this stuff really works. I am better. This God stuff is working out for me.
Amen?
Amen. All right. Now we go to verse 2, chapter 12 of Romans. It's uphill. Amen?
Amen. That's right.
Do not conform. Everybody say conform. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. That's like the old way you used to be. Don't be the way you used to be. Problem is, I kind of like some of that stuff. Kind of like that old shirt that your wife or whoever is saying, gotta get rid of. I love this old shirt. See, some you've got to determine whether or not you're going to fight or you're going to follow. Because it's get rid of that old shirt. Oh, okay, I don't care about that old shirt. I got other shirts. I got a better shirt. I got a new shirt. Or you no, I'm never going to get rid of that old shirt, that old chair, that old whatever. Amen? Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will. Everybody say God's will? What God's will is His good, pleasing, and perfect will. God has high expectations for you.
That's right.
Maybe you never thought of it that way. God has expectations for you. He had expectations for you in 2013. Perhaps some of you have set expectations for yourself in 2014. Say, there's some stuff that I have got to change in my life. I got to quit my drinking. I got to quit my gambling. I got to quit my eating. I got to quit my smoking. All kinds of things that you might be better off. Well, I dare say that you would be better off if you got control of these areas of your life. Amen? It's like, no, I want to continue being a binge drinker. I have so many great things that are going on. It's like, what do I need to fix so that I can get better? Amen?
Amen.
That's a great goal, isn't it?
Yes.
That's not God's goal, though. God's goal is not that you would get better. His goal is that you would be able to test and approve what His will is. And if you are all involved in this crud, right? If you are waking up hungover, if you are worried about gambling, losing everything, all these issues that can get a hold of your life, how much are you worried about God's will? Nothing. You just want to get well. And you come to the Lord so that you can get well. And everybody does. God has higher expectations than you just getting well. See, the Bible also talks about Paul writing the church in Ephesus that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That the paint job that Eliseo and Lorenzo did on the hallway back in the church was a list of tasks that God had for them to do. And it had been sitting there undone until they showed up to do it. And there are things that God has set in store for you to accomplish in 2013, and some of you never got to. And God has expectation. Hey, I invested the blood of my son in you, and I'm looking for a return. And you thought you were just showing up to get better. God has higher expectations. As you spend time around here, you're going to be able to get a better grip on what God has for you. God saved you for a purpose. God saved you for His purpose. And He wants you to be able to discover that.
Amen.
Joe and I have been working on this car, putting a head on it, and doing all this stuff. And Joe's done most of the work. And I was out tinkering, doing something yesterday, and he comes to me with this look of dismay, maybe, on his face. And he says, Dad, I was going to bring it. He has his part in his hands. It's about that big, a little metal cup. And he says, Dad, I have no clue where this goes. I mean, he's almost done. The motor's all together. Right? Like shuddering to think, oh, no, it's on the inside. I said, are you putting it back together according to the directions? No. I'm just kind of doing it the way I remember taking it apart. It would be good to follow the directions. I said, I'm busy right now. We'll talk about it in a little bit. When he takes that part, and he gets online, and he looks up the part by the part number, it's stamped in the parts. And he's looking it up, and he finds a part. And then he finds a picture of the part. He's looking at all the pictures, and he finds out where it goes. And he comes back, and he says, Dad, I know where it goes. It takes about 15 minutes to put it in. And I'm like, right on. Now, this is the fourth head that we put on together. He's doing this one mainly alone, and he learned enough that he can go back and do the research himself and find out where stuff goes.
Amen.
Now, if you read this verse, it says that we are being transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we will be able to test and approve God's will for us. Joe's getting good at being a mechanic to determine where stuff goes. You need to become good as a Christian. Determine where you go. Then you're going to get to the point of whether or not you're going to follow that or you're going to fight that. Amen? Drag it with
me? Yeah.
All right, let's go. So we had a focus on change and a focus on following. When he comes, talking about the Holy Spirit, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. It says, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. God is in the lead. Jesus said, I am going to heaven, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Or actually, he said, the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit in my name, and he's going to remind you everything I said. He will guide you in how you are to go in your life. God guides us. God is in the lead. You must determine whether or not you are going to follow or whether or not you are going to fight that direction in your life. Amen? He says he's going to do that with the whole world. If you are here today, it is because God is calling you in a right relationship with him and calling you to lead that path that you have, and you will determine whether or not you will follow or fight. Whether you will not, you will let him lead, or whether or not you will continue to lead. Amen? Does that make sense?
Amen.
See, so in 2014, we come to the... We're going to come daily, routinely, to these choices. Which way will you go? Will you follow the direction of God? See, when you come to the Lord and you ask Jesus to come into your life, it is the Holy Spirit who comes into your life. And he begins to direct you. And all these changes begin to happen in your life. Like the bitterness, the rage, the anger, the gambling, the drinking, and the smoking, and all that kind of stuff. And you start working on that stuff, and all of a sudden you notice a little extra. You notice the direction of the Holy Spirit. Whoa, what was that? And become your mind and your ear and your soul become tuned to the direction of God. And He begins to move you into areas of change. Now He's moving you because you're not going there on your own. Can I get a witness on that, please? Yes, He is directing you because you're not getting to where He wants you to be. And the Lord comes and says, let's work on that. And sometimes you say, well, I'm kind of comfortable with that. I kind of like that the way it is. Let's work on something else, Lord. And we can fight rather than fall. Amen?
Amen.
You ask yourself, what you do in 2013? Fight or fall? Because the Holy Spirit's directing has a path. He's going, man, I want to get you to paint the hallway. I want to get you to leading celebrate recovery. I want to get you to whatever task that He has laid out for you for 2014. For me to get you there, I have to lead you through these preliminary steps because you're not ready to do it yet. Amen?
Amen.
Some of you are already ready. There are people down there teaching. They are fulfilling that task that the Lord has for them. There's other areas of growth. I've got areas of growth. All God's people got areas of growth. Amen?
Amen.
The thing is whether or not you're going to receive that or not. Whether or not you're going to be directed by God or you're going to fight Him. Because we can struggle with surrender. We can struggle with saying amen, too. We can struggle with surrender.
Amen.
No. He said to another man, follow me. See, He said to me, follow me. He said to me, that's the woman you're going to spend the next 20 years. 20 years? So far, 20. He said, follow me, but the man said, Lord, first. And the question becomes, what are you putting before the Lord? Follow me, but the man said, Lord, first, let me go bury my father. We don't know if the guy's dad was dead. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another man said, I'll follow you, Lord, but first. And that is where we get into the problem, because the Lord's going to die, or you're going to die. Yeah, I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me do this and this and this and this and this. And what that means is I'm not going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to do my own thing. He says, first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow. I don't know if you've ever plowed. I've driven tractor, okay? And if you're plowing and you're looking and where you're going, you've got straight roads and all that kind of stuff, and you're looking around, start making crazy brothers. He said, anybody who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for service in the kingdom of God. Pain will bring you to the Lord. We can't manage our problems, our people, our image, and our pain. We get overloaded. We come to a point in the road and there's a T. We say, Lord, I'm going to can't continue going my way, I will go your way. And the reason you come to the Lord is because of you. Lord, save me! Save me from my problems, my pain, my issues. And everybody comes to the Lord for themselves, and that's okay. But you come to a point in your life whether or not you're going to continue living for yourself or you're going to start living for the Lord. And the incredibly challenging thing is that when you come to the Lord, especially me, and especially many of us around here in the hood, we are so messed up. Amen?
Yeah.
We're so messed up that you can travel right alongside the path of God, be on your own path. And you can go a long time because you're so messed up before you're going to have to make a decision whether or not you're going to go your way for God.
Amen.
Now, I got to give up the drinking. God wants you to give up the drinking. Got to give up the womanizing. God wants you to give up the womanizing. God wants, you know, you got all these little goals that you set up for yourself that God wants you to do too. But you're going to get to this point in your life where God says, now we're going this way. Oh, I don't think so. yourself. And what happens is you get to that fork in the road and you start slowing way down. Man, I don't drink anymore. I don't cuss anymore. I don't steal anymore. I got a good job. The Lord's going, I got you right where I can start you.
Amen.
Amen. But I still want to fish. I don't want to be a fisher of men. I like being a fisher of fish. I make money. I get paid. No, Lord, I don't think so. You're going to go your own way or your own gospel. Sometimes your old life starts bubbling up. It would be like a maybe, and this is a stretch. Maybe Beth shows up. Beth. That's from 20 years ago. Beth, how are you? And you know, start talking and chatting. And I go, hey, Lisa, look who's around. And I got to think, Lisa would not be as excited as I was. And in fact, Lisa might just say, this is going to work. There's no doubt about it. And I can determine whether or not I'm going to fight or fall. And we do that with God. This old stuff that should have been dead a long time ago starts bubbling up. The pain, the problems, my people, my image, all that stuff used to work good over there. I think I could handle it. I think I have it under control. We start throwing out of there. I mean, drift away from God. Focus for 2014. You've got to find out if you're going to fight or you're going to fall.
Amen.
Last thing. Focus on forgiveness. God will guide you into forgiveness.
That's right.
No question asked. Okay? Now, I've been talking about hypothetical stuff. And there is more that God will have you do than forgiveness. But I guarantee you, he will have you do forgiveness. How do I know? Let's talk about it. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And I got to think, Peter's going, seven whole times? Man, you're probably going to be pretty impressed. And Jesus said, no, son of Peter. How about 70 times? Actually, I said 77. Some versions have 70. It's a whole lot more than you bargained for. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, I get the picture of God just speaking to you. It's like, don't be unforgiving. Now, you kind of get this grandpa kind of think, oh, Lord, you forgive me, my son. Don't be unforgiving. Because being unforgiving is really going to harm you.
Amen.
Amen? That ties you into your old sin and your old pain. Makes you into that bitter person all over again. Unforgiveness is like eating poison and hoping somebody else will die. Okay? I'm really going to punish you! Watch me, this poison is going to kill you! No, it's killing you. Now, we're talking about unforgiveness. We're talking about forgiveness and who you might need to forgive. Well, you might have to forgive that person that cut you off in traffic.
Yeah.
Thank you. That one on the upper right, that is a missing stereo. And perhaps you would need to forgive the person who stole your stereo. That lower left, that is somebody who has scraped your car. Oh, yeah, you might have to forgive them, too. That one on the lower right is that person who keys your car. little message for you in your car. See, because that person who cut you off, oh, that person who stole your ring, no, the straight man, I'm telling you, it's been an accident. All of these stuff. Forgiveness. Who else? Maybe the guy who stole your girlfriend. Maybe the guy who hit your kid. Maybe the person who hit your mom, your wife. Maybe the person who stole your virginity. Do we all have all this stuff that we have stored up in our hearts and in our minds that pollute us, that tie us to that sin? You think about what pain you have in your life, what has not yet been forgiven, and you are tied to that sin. To think about this bank of pictures here, to think about if that tied into your soul at all, and you've got some of that pain running around, that you have hurt enough. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
And forgiveness will set you free, and unforgiveness will just keep you tied to that sin. And so forgiveness will help you let go and move on. So, how do we do it? How do you step into forgiveness? Romans 12:19. Do not take revenge. Everybody say revenge.
Revenge.
Do not take revenge, my friend, but leave room for God's wrath.
Amen.
For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Well, let's start with what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Oh, I'll just forget it. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not just I'm just going to let it go. It's not minimizing it. It just wasn't that important. I'll tell you what. Somebody's thumping on your kid, that's important. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody's thumping on my wife, that's important.
Amen.
Somebody scratching your car up,
that's important.
There is deep harm. There is such a... I don't want to be flippant talking about some of this stuff because there is deep, deep harm in many of our lives that the Lord would say, I want you to begin to address that. And you say, Lord, I've spent so much of my life trying to avoid it. How can I now address it? And it's because the Holy Spirit is now scratching that area of your life and saying, we need to deal with this. And the question is, are you going to fight it or are you going to follow? Because the Lord would set you free. Amen? And he who the Lord sets free is free indeed. Amen? And he doesn't want you tied up to that sin anymore. He wants you to let it go. What is there that the Lord cannot handle? See, what it takes to forgive is trusting God. He says, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. And what you do is you take that person who keyed your car, who cut you off in traffic, who stole your job, who stole your old lady, who punched your old lady, and you say, Lord, here you go. And the problem is, we don't trust God enough to do that. Because when I think of the guy who keyed my car, I think of getting a bucket of acid and pouring it on his car. Oh, yeah. And I start dreaming that little dream going, oh, yeah. I'm going to write my name in his car. Yeah. And we start dreaming that revenge dream. Lord said, he was tying you up to that sin. See, we don't trust God enough that he's going to deal with that sin the way we would. In fact, he might even forgive him. And I don't want that to happen. And we get that picture of Grandpa coming up and saying, oh, child, don't be unforgiving.
It's just going to harm you. And you know what? That's not the right picture. That's a picture. Because he says, if you don't forgive, I will forgive you.
Amen.
See, and we sit up there and we think we can fight the will of God. We think that the Bible is full of suggestions. Oh, you want to have the good life? Start forgiving those people that have harmed you. You know what? God's not pleading with you on that. God is saying, you want to destroy your life? Keep on unforgiving. You want to be shackled to the sin that have totally just tore up your whole soul and being for your whole life? Continue to unforgive.
Yeah.
I'm not leaving. But he says, I'll tell you what. I'm telling you, forgive. He doesn't give us an option. And we sit up there and go,
well, I don't really know, but maybe he's going to give me an option. He's not asking. He's coming.
There was a beautiful young woman, I mean years ago, and she was coming to the Lord, and she had a tore up life, but man, God was just doing this incredible thing. And I'm talking with her one day, and we're talking, and we're talking, and talking. And this anger that was on her comes out. And she's the one. And I said, well, we need to start praying for your dad. And she's like, what? I said, oh, yeah. We start praying for him, the Lord, because he lived in Mexico. He had abandoned her family when she was 5 years old. And it totally radically impacted her life so that she had parents or siblings and her mom was just tore up because of it. And it was just all this stuff. And God was doing this great work. And so and we could pray for him that God would do to him what he's doing. Sounds good, right? And she goes, I said, oh yeah, you might never see him again, but you could see him in heaven. And she said, what? I don't want him to go to heaven. She said, if God would save him and send him to heaven, I am not serving God anymore. And she walked out of the church. She was gone because of the mercy of God. She ended up living with a guy, mainly for rent, giving herself away. Don't know where she is now. Years ago, when she came to that fork in the road, she said, I'm going my way.